It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
It's always more true story with James White. It's wrong. Brother White, good morning.
Good
What's going on?
Good morning. Boy, there is a lot going on, but there is so much that I appreciate always about the Sports Shop. Now, one of the things that I appreciate about the Sports Shop is you all have no problem going back to where you came from.
Mm.
You know, and sometimes you do that in a way that's painful. I mean, how in the world could it go from Doc Rivers to Glenn?
Right. That was good.
I am afraid this morning, but it's like your parents, the communities we came from, whether it was Alabama or whether it was the country here in North Carolina, do not forget where you came
from.
That's right.
You have an origin story. Marcus Garvey said, a people without knowledge of their past history, origin, and culture is like a tree without roots.
Mm.
Now, earlier this week, one of the shareholders, Michelle, was bold enough to ask a question.
Mm.
Why is it that the Green Bay Packers only drafted black players?
Mm.
She was wondering that about the draft period. But then she explained later why she asked the question. And she explained why she had her concerns. She said, I suggested the NFL is actually racist for always choosing and highlighting black players. I'm sure that is why you chose Jordan Love for a quarterback when he never should have been chosen. I just hope that the Packers will still play the national anthem, fly the flag with the planes going over as they always have. Anyone who doesn't respect and honor our flag and our military heroes does not belong on the Packers roster. So for the 2022-23 season, let's just play football and leave all the politics and racism out of the stadium. Well, Michelle, I hate to tell you this, but last year I had a chance to spend a couple of days at Lambeau Field, and it's a little too late to leave Lambeau Field, the politics and racism out of the stadium, because when you walk into the gateway of the Lambeau Field, there's a story that's important. You will see this big gate that says the Oneida Nation. Now, the Oneida Nation was originally in New York, but after the Revolutionary War in the 1800s, it was displaced like many indigenous people, and they settled in Wisconsin. Well, it's interesting how, again, Wisconsin and how Green Bay tells the story. They say it this way, that having moved the state to the state of Wisconsin in the early 19th century after relocating from New York, the Oneida Nation has established an extensive business portfolio in Green Bay, including hotel, casinos, banks, and commercial land management. You see, the Oneida Nation is a reservation that Green Bay is located on. That's right. In the 1800s, the Oneida Nation was the ones who, again, had the land. Like many indigenous people, even here in North Carolina, they were displaced to Wisconsin.
Mm.
But then they were even moved further on. How is it that indigenous people own land, but they end up with casinos? And even there at Lambeau Field, you have the Oneida Nation. Now, the Oneida Nation has come up with a treaty and an agreement. And while, yes, it might be good, but when you think about the Oneida Nation, you look and you even look where some of the players live. They live on the Oneida Nation reservation, and all they have is a casino. You know, why is it that we're afraid of the origin story? Many of us don't even know the origin story, even of where we're here in the Triangle. Many people don't even know that much of Morrisville that we see right now that's beautifully developed was one time owned by black sharecroppers.
Right.
Many of us don't even know when you drive down Oberlin Road, it was the site of Oberlin Village, one of the first places where freed black slaves lived here in Raleigh. It was the largest land-owning reconstruction place for black people, the largest land settlement in Wake County. In 1880, there were about 160 families that lived there. Most of us don't even know that it was the home of Lauder University. Most of us don't even realize that that Oberlin Village that we see, if you don't believe me, if you think this is this reconstruction, there's a sign there that lets you know all of these things are true. Why are we afraid of the origin story? could it be because it's changed so much? Most of us don't even know the beautiful Umstead Park that we enjoy, that it was segregated until 1967. Can you believe it? A park segregated. Mm. We many times don't understand something wow. that's important, that many times we don't have to leave out the trauma in order for there to be triumph. The origin story is important. Michael Jordan, you don't leave out the death of his dad, James Jordan, which makes him even more incredible that he still achieved what he achieved. And LeBron James, listen, you cannot leave out the reality that his mother, Gloria, had him at 16 years old. And at 9 years old, LeBron was given to Frank Walker to be raised until his amazing mother decided she could take him back again. Mm. So here's what I would say. Don't leave out the origin story. And to the shareholder, Marilyn, let me tell you this. Mm. Maybe you're asking why there's so many black players. But even the Green Bay Packers, the football in that area, in the 1880s, some of the first professional paid football players were Tom Skindermore, Taylor Smith, Martin Willock, and Jonas Maxerton. They were all people from the Oneida Nation. Maybe you should be asking, Maryland, where are all the Oneida players today? And you know why you should be asking that? Because the origin story is important. And we know it's important. Why?
Because
there's always more to the story.
That's powerful. Woo.
But there it is again.
I may not always go on Sunday, but I go on Wednesday.
Got to get that midweek.
I know. I'm trying to change.
He said you could come see him on Sunday.
You spoke to him this morning. You educated me this morning. I had no idea.
I like my midweek refreshment.
I know. Brother White, always a pleasure.
People good always stuff. Talk about Mordecai. But I never heard the story of Overland Village. I never heard it.
Yeah, man. And they have signs out there talking to what you just said, Brother White, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Listen, so thankful for you all because you all give a complete story. Mm-hmm. May you continue doing that. But it's amazing out here in these streets and what people are saying.
Yes.
Really, you ain't going to tell me.
All right, my friend, man. Be
Thank
blessed.
You so
Thank you
much.
So much.
Have a great day.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah. All right,
bye-bye. Hey, man, I don't care.
Wow.
You don't get this nowhere.
No. Mm-mm.
You don't get this nowhere else but right here on this show. Nowhere else but on this show right here. Huh?
You can go to Bible study. To get your midweek on.
Yeah, I ain't mad at you. Right.
But you can all,
you
come
can
in.
Get it early.
All
early,
do
around 7:30 at the board.
All you can do is tune in.
And the thing is, he brings it every single
time.
Day.
Yes.
I mean, every single Wednesday. Anyway, mm-hmm. Vicky's going to tell us something right
I
quick.
No, there's only one James. Virgin right. Cigars of Raleigh has the top cigars from around the world for you to smell, hold, and taste before taking them home. Receive a free gift with your first purchase. Stop in across from CarMax on Glenwood Avenue and online at virgincigarsnc.com. And be sure to ask about their private lounge. When you smoke, smoke the best with cigars from Virgin Cigars.
Funny enough, I was there yesterday.
Yeah,
and the day before that.
I think I was too.
The day before that.
I'll be there today.
Tell me something I don't know.
So, hey, I want to peel back, Brother White, because you had to. We're gonna be talking to our intern, who's rock with us. Alan Black's gonna be here in a second, but I do want to back. Pay. I want to pull back to Chelsea again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Chelsea Lucas.
Chelsea Lucas.
Oh, okay.
She worked at Alcorn before she came to Alcorn State before she came to Grambling, and she got fired down there.
Mm-hmm.
Or she got let go. My sources just tell me that they had to let her go because she was just doing some things that she should have been doing, but she landed again on mm-hmm. her another job in Grambling. By the way, this. Yeah, man, this is the same school that AD hired.
Art Brown. I mean, Art Brown.
Yeah, it is Art Brown.
It is.
But they hired the coach who hired Art Brown.
Yeah.
But so, yeah
talk
this
about
is
that.
Yeah, this mm-hmm. is definitely the same school. This is definitely the same school. I guess my whole issue, my problem is layered a little differently because one of the things is that, A, yeah, you come in and you just because coaches do this all the time.
Man. Yeah,
these types of things happen all the time, which I completely dislike. I think it's unfair. I think it puts because these are young people's livelihoods, and so you always talk about the young athlete not wanting to commit or not being committed. right? But when this is allowed to take place, well, it's kind of hard to be like that all in that sense, right? So I get it. Some of those players probably should have been cut, should have been just hanging on. Whatever the vibe was on the team, whatever it is that she did not like, I get it. And the AD brought her in because, A, she's supposedly she's good at what she does, right, on the court. She
right.
she may need a little polishing off the court, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, in other areas. But on the court, she's good at what she does, right?
Right, exactly.
So one of the things that I guess I find disturbing is, why do we let this type of, I guess, all of this take place? Why? Like, you just can't come in and just completely disrupt an entire team like that. Because what message are you sending about your commitment as a university to student-athletes?
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
What are you saying to student-athletes? If you come to Grambling University, hey, look, it's a wing and a prayer, baby.
Right. And if you're a great coach, you don't have to hand-pick them.
That's true.
You can coach somebody up. We talk about that. You can coach them into development. Maybe you cut some of them, but the whole team?
Yeah. So did one mouth off and you got mad?
Right.
You know, you got a little sensitive and you'd be like, oh, okay, well, all y'all can go.
Right, because it was after practice, so it wasn't like it was a few games. It was like was a knee-jerk reaction to something that happened.
Right. And it just looks, I get it. There are on-the-court things, there are off-the-court things, there are one-on-one things, and then there are organizational things. And this level, it probably failed at least four of those. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Organizationally, that was a fail. You know what I mean?
I just think the AD's not going to survive this at the end of the day.
Well, he shouldn't.
Right. It just made stupid.
You just
stuff.
Can't keep compounding these types of things. Mm-hmm. And I get it. That happened. And the only response you gave initially is, I stand by my coach.
Yeah, there
right.
It is. There it is.
Like, what the hell is this? Like, eighth grader?
You're going to fall by your coach.
That's
too.
It.
What's that, an eighth grader?
I know.
I stand by my eighth grader.
I know.
Well, your eighth grader is throwing pistols at people.
She's standing on shaky ground.
Right.
Standing alone. And let's segue real quickly, man. You know, this guy that's sitting in my chair, he's Alan Black. He's been rocking with us about 2 or 3 years. I was interning with us, came in every morning. Sat over there in that booth and just waited his term. And then we brought him in for a couple of times to do some stuff with us. He's big on the Hurricanes, big on NC State. So Alan's going to – I asked him to come in and get us updated on the Hurricanes, which they're in a good position now. Then also give us an insight to what's going on in NC State.
Morning, guys.
Good
What's
morning.
Going on, man?
Nothing much. How's everybody?
Doing good. Great.
Man, it's changed in here. A lot of new things. I mean, got new setup in
Looks
here.
Crazy.
New
yeah.
things. K-Mac, you started growing some hair last time I seen you.
There you go. Look, I just didn't want people to think I couldn't.
That's right. That's
I'm like Chris Paul. Just because I have it don't mean I can't.
Yeah.
Okay,
the hair thing, he don't look like he can. I was like, Chris, you need to just let it all go.
I'm talking about shoot.
But,
no, I mean, I'm trying to grow this playoff beard, and as you see, nothing's working.
Give it a couple decades.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no, a couple decades.
I thought
he was
going to
say, give it a couple weeks. He said decades.
Give it a couple decades. You'll be all right.
No, but let's talk on the Hurricanes. I mean, we got put in a good position yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
On Twitter, on Game 4 and Game 3, I was not happy. Tweeted some things out, frustration, and I think a lot of fans did. And for them to come back in Game 5 and be able to perform the way they did,
mm-hmm.
I think it was really good. And obviously, you can tell that the home crowd there in Raleigh, I think it's the loudest arena in the NHL.
Yes.
Okay.
Hands down. And everybody's thinking this is going to go 6 games. I honestly think it's going to go 7. Because the hometown, home arena, it's a huge difference. I mean, playing in front of 20,000 screaming fans, especially Boston, where that place is a hockey town. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's something else. And no matter how many, I do not like the Bruins. I will blatantly say I do not like
me
the Bruins.
Me either.
Exactly. Thank you.
No. Nope.
Why y'all don't like the Bruins?
Because they're bullies, sir.
That would be correct.
Yes.
That would be correct.
I'm not trying to throw shade or anything.
Well,
you in the right place. It's all right.
But the Bruins announcer, in my opinion, is the most biased announcer I've ever seen.
As others, trust me.
But when Tony D'Angelo threw his stick, I mean, it was going to be an open goal, and it made it 6-2. And the announcer pretty much said, and there's Tony DeAngelo being a bad sport. And I was like, really, man? I mean, it's playoff hockey. I mean, there's a certain level for playoff hockey in regular season.
That's what you say when you lose it.
It happened to them the first two games.
Look at them throwing this thing, these bad people down here in Carolina.
How dare you?
How dare you? In hockey where you fight each other bare knuckle. And you worried about somebody throwing their stick.
Right, while Marchand is talking his, you know, mess.
Yeah, man, go on somewhere.
Yeah.
Please. I compare him to Coach K, the face. If you look at him and Coach K.
Hold on. I love that, by the way. I love that. Who are we comparing to the greatest NCAA basketball coach of all time?
If you look at Coach K and you look at Brad Marchand, the nose, it resembles a rat. Now, don't get me wrong. Coach K is one of the greatest college basketball coaches of all time. In my opinion, the greatest basketball coach of all time.
Really?
As controversial as some people will say, I think he's the best basketball coach of all time.
Look, man. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane.
Basically, I know damn well
you're going to come in and call one of the greatest basketball coaches of all time. He looks like a rat. And you 12 years old, man. You better go. I'm telling you. You might want to change that. Don't let Reese get you caught up.
No.
I'm telling you, don't let him get you caught up now.
You can tell every UNC fan, even my mom, my grandmother, every UNC fan on this planet thinks that that man is a rat.
You said you started with UNC.
He looks like a rat. He's not a rat.
Best coach of all time, but the face.
Boy, I tell you. Boy, I tell you, boy. Like I said, y'all got it bad, bro.
We didn't do it this time.
I don't know what. That man just said his whole lineage.
His mom, his grandma.
Y'all got it bad. Yeah, I'm telling you.
It's a family affair.
But I'm an NC State fan. Yeah. I went the other way.
This whole lineage.
Oh, okay.
It could have been so easy to be a UNC fan.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad went to State, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go for State. And
speaking of State,
it's so hard to be a State fan. And I don't think many UNC or Duke people will realize, you know, they'll feel sympathy for us. But at the end of the day, it's pretty bad.
Oh, yeah.
Really, you just have to lower your expectations.
This year, I thought Keats was going to get fired. I really thought that they were going to let Keats go. And I have something on here. I mean, in his past 5 years, he's 90-66 and 42-50 in the ACC. You cannot finish under 500 in the ACC, the best basketball conference.
He's 42-50?
42-50. We lost some transfers. Our best player, Manny Bates, Thomas Allen, Jalen Gibson, and then Jericho Helms was a senior this year. Cam Hayes, and then Darion Sebron is obviously going to go to the league, so he put his name in the draft. And Travion Smith, freshman, put his name in the draft. So that's seven people.
So I got a question for you, since you seem to be a State guy. Why do I want to go to school over there and play basketball?
More playing time?
Before Keats. They didn't want to play over there either.
I mean,
nobody wants to stay over there and play basketball at NC State. Why not?
I mean, you gotta look first at the history at NC State.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we'll start with that.
I mean, in my opinion, the greatest ACC basketball player of all time, David Thompson, played at NC State.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
And you have...
But when you're 17, you don't know who David Thompson is.
The 1983 championship team. Probably the most historic college basketball run in the history.
That's right.
Of all time. Taking down five Slammajama with Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler. Ooh. I mean, you can't tell me that a lot of other teams like that would be able to take down two Hall of Famers in college.
Ooh. You go to Missouri and the people say, go play basketball at NC State. They say, where is that?
Yeah, that's
it. But if you say I want to go play at the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill, they say, "Oh yeah, that's what Michael Jordan played." You say I want to go play at Duke, they say, "Oh yeah, that's what Coach K is." They say, "Yeah, we know where that is."
But football,
we weren't talking about football. We were talking about basketball.
But I mean, if you look here at NC State, I mean, we lost a 5-star recruit. He decommitted. And we had another guy that was Sean Phillips.
I'm asking why nobody wants to go play basketball over NC State.
I mean,
not just with Coach Keith.
Al, you're looking really uncomfortable when you answer that question. By the
way. I mean, you gonna come at my coach, so you know it is what it is.
I mean, you gotta look, and especially when you look at Duke too. I mean,
we ain't talking about Duke.
When Coach K started, they tried to run him out.
We're not talking about Duke. I'm talking about in the last 8 to 10 years, nobody wants to come play basketball at NC State.
Well, I mean, you got two powerhouse programs, and ever since 1983.
Okay, that's it.
1990s.
Nobody want to come play with you because your big brother stayed there.
Pretty much.
All right. Okay. Well, I'll take that.
But, I mean, you also got to look. Levi Watkins, former NC State player, he's back.
Yeah.
And right when he got the job, Ole Miss lost five people on their roster. Five.
Hmm.
They entered the transfer portal, and one of them is coming to NC State, Jarkel Joyner.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
And he's pretty good. And it's right now for NC State, it's the transfer portal because Keats doesn't have time for recruits.
Let's see if y'all can keep him.
Yeah, my question: you think he's gonna put his act together and get his team ready for this upcoming season and keep his job?
It's gonna be tough. I mean, you look at the competition in the ACC, and you look right now where Keats is in a position where
you mean Coach Keats.
Coach Keats,
okay,
is on the hot seat. Yeah. So if the transfer portal doesn't work out this year and he doesn't make it to the tournament. Or doesn't make it to the NIT, not in tournament. I'm sorry, he's gone.
Mm. And he's the oldest coach in the triangle, by the way. Now, in terms of being head coach,
he's the longest from an experience level.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you gotta look. NC State. You would think at NC State and the changing of the guard. Coach K is out. Roy Williams is out. So now State has an opportunity to come in. So Hubert Davis comes in, and, of course, he has probably the best season that you could have for a first year.
Man, you know what? We up against it, Helen. You know what?
Hey,
you're going to have to answer my question next time you come back. I'm telling you that right now. Next time you come back, you got to explain to me why nobody wants to go to school over Hillsborough Street.
Alan, thank you so much for coming in, man, hanging out with us.
Thank you. Great job.
Got to get you back in again.
Relive the best moments of the Sports Shop on the Best of Sports Shop podcast on WRALSportsFan.com or wherever you get your podcasts.